We are going to be studying this morning from the subject, responding to the kingdom of God. Responding to the kingdom of God. And last Sunday, we kicked off this series that's going to last all throughout December on Christmas Revolution. Christmas Revolution. Anybody remember last Sunday? And we're going to continue that study today and next week. And we have been learning, and for some of us it's a reminder, that Christmas is not about Christmas trees. Christmas is not about Christmas gifts. Christmas is not about a holiday season, nor is Christmas about the Lakewood Mall. We are learning that Jesus' birth is about the greatest revolution that ever happened in the history of mankind. I don't want you to see Christmas in the same way that you have looked at Christmas probably most of your life. The word revolution, as we learned last Sunday, literally means to turn around. Someone say turn around. It means a sudden and radical and complete change. A sudden, radical, and complete change. Change. When God brings a revolution to your life, he brings a turnaround to your life. When he brings a revolution to your situation, he brings a sudden and radical and complete change. How many need a complete change? I'm not talking about a partial change, a little change. I'm talking about a chapel type change. Hello, somebody. And our big idea for this whole month that we're wrapping all our thoughts around and we're constantly coming back to it, I'm going to put it on the screen. It says, Jesus' birth started heaven's revolution against the kingdom of darkness on earth and reintroduced the kingdom of God. This is our big idea. This is what we want to memorize. This is what we want to meditate upon, that his birth started heaven's revolution against the kingdom of darkness on earth, and it reintroduced the kingdom of God to us. It reintroduced it to us. This is very, very, very important how we understand that the birth of Jesus was a special ops mission from heaven with the goal to set prisoners of war free. We learned last week that apart from Jesus, we are all POWs. Can I get amen? Amen. We are all prisoners of war. And I would even submit unto you that Christians who walk away from the base camp, they don't last long. They get handcuffed quick. They get dragged into the enemy territory and they get put into a cage. Some of the reasons why some people ain't with us today that were with us 6 months ago is because they're in a spiritual cage somewhere, locked up as a POW. And hopefully they get the message, the real message of Christmas, that it was about a revolution to bring a turnaround, a sudden, radical, and complete change. That without Christ, we are all prisoners of war. In fact, Jesus said himself, you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 6, verse 38, he says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. You can substitute the word will for mission. I come down to do the Father's mission. I'm on a mission. I was born with a mission. Wasn't just born. It didn't happen by accident. I come with a mission. I walk with a mission. I talk with a mission. And when you study the life of Jesus, sometimes people try to distract him. And he said, no. I'm on a mission, and the mission must be fulfilled. And so I don't want us to view Jesus as this frail, weak, skinny little dude anymore. I want us to view Jesus as a spiritual type of Rambo from the movie First Blood. This is what I want you to think about Jesus. He's a type of Rambo. If you ever watched the movie of First Blood, you'll learn that Rambo went and invaded the enemy's territory to set the prisoners of war free. Went all up in enemy territory, risked his life, blew up everything. And you're going to learn that Jesus blew up everything for you and I. He didn't hold nothing black back. He blew up hell for you and I. Went down to the grave. Acted, you know, went down to the grave and blew it up for you and I. Came back on the third day and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And as a result of that, you go and make disciples out of all nations. In other words, you go and be part of the revolution. Spread the revolution. That sounds like another sermon topic. Spread the revolution. Last Sunday, we defined the kingdom of God for you. And I put together a definition that I think we could all grasp. And I want to remind you of it here today. And I just want to let you know that the kingdom of God is so vast and so large that you really can't put it in one sentence. You could, books have been written on the kingdom of God, but I kind of distilled the definition. I kind of broke it down to which I think we can all grasp this definition of the kingdom of God. And let me remind you of it as we learned last Sunday. The kingdom of God is God's order. Someone say order. God's rule. Someone say rule. And God's presence manifested on earth. When you have a chaotic situation and God brings order to that situation, that is the kingdom of God being manifested to you. When you have a broken situation and God brings his rule to that situation, that's the kingdom of God being manifested to you. The kingdom of God, what is it? It's God's order, God's rule, God's presence manifested on earth. Not only does God want to manifest the kingdom of God through us, he wants to, in us, he wants to manifest the kingdom of God through us. And you're going to learn, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this at some point in time, that our theme for 2018 is bringing the kingdom down. We want the kingdom of God not just to be manifested in us, but to be manifested through us in everything we do. We're agents of the revolution. Agents. Everybody, from little kid to spirit-filled grandma, agents of the revolution. And I posed some questions last Sunday that I want to remind us of this morning. One of the things I said is, are you out of order? Are you out of order? Whatever is out of order does not work. Does not work. Whatever is out of order does not work. When the kingdom of God is manifested to you, it brings God's order to your life. Some of you thought you were coming just to worship service, but God actually brought you here to get serviced because you've been out of order in 2017, and he's going to take that big old white piece of paper that reads out of order off your forehead for 2018. Can I get an amen? Thought you coming to worship service. You didn't come to just worship service. You came to get serviced. God got something to do in your life in 2018, and it ain't going to happen when you're out of order. I asked some questions last Sunday. One of them ones is, are you allowing God to rule in your life? Are you allowing God to rule in your heart? Are you allowing God to rule in your mind? Hear me today. The kingdom of God first comes to us before it comes through us. Jesus turned around and told somebody, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. So as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must allow the kingdom of God, God's rule, to come in us before it comes through us. Don't put the cart before the horse. Some of us get excited and we don't ever experience transformation, and we automatically want to go spread the kingdom and we want to go push the kingdom, and we get assassinated because our character can't stand the heat of the front lines. And so, man, I'm preaching another sermon right now. I got to write this down. I got to write some notes down here for next week. But the kingdom of God first must come in us before it comes through us. We got to allow God to rule in our life, rule in our heart, rule in our mind that we're going to talk about today. And then I asked another question that says, are you creating environments in your home and marriage and in your spaces that are welcoming to the Holy Spirit? Are you creating environments in your home, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your mind, in your heart, in your car as you drive to work? How many of y'all know that your work needs the presence of God? And some of y'all are complaining about how chaotic it is at your work, and God is waiting for you to take his presence to your work. But he can't take his presence to your work because you ain't letting him ride with you. God, oh, that's a word for somebody right there. God's been trying to ride with somebody, but you keep locking up the doors and you playing Tupac or I don't know what you playing, but it ain't welcoming to the Holy Ghost. And so he said, I can't ride with you. I'm trying to go to your work and solve some situations. I'm going to transform your boss so maybe you can get a raise. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But are we creating environments in which the Holy Spirit is welcoming the presence of God? We want God to work in our lives, but are we creating an environment? So we're talking about how important is the kingdom of God. How important? Why is this subject so important? And we learned that Jesus was obsessed with the kingdom of God. He was obsessed with the kingdom of God. He was obsessed with teaching us to prioritize the kingdom of God. He taught us to prioritize the kingdom of God above our job, above our wants and our desires, above our comfort. I really believe one of the most evilest spirits that attacks the kingdom of God is not necessarily an evil spirit of lust. It's not so much an evil spirit of evil, but it is the evil spirit of comfort. I think comfort, when it comes to a spirit, I think comfort can be an evil spirit because it puts the kingdom of God to sleep. And Jesus taught us to prioritize the kingdom of God above our comfort, above our convenience. In fact, let me remind you, my brothers and sisters, in Matthew 6, 33, the NLT version, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek it, chase after it, hunt for it. You're not going to just stumble upon it. It's not going to just be fed to you. You got to, some of y'all, God wants to test your desire. For some of us, God wants to test our desire. For some of y'all, you ain't been feeling God the way you think you should be feeling God. And I want to let you know it is a test from God to see how bad do you want it. How bad do you want it? God, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else, above everything, above your livelihood, above your relational needs, above all else. He says, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You know why Jesus says he'll give you everything you need if you seek the kingdom first? You know why Jesus says you'll get everything you need if you seek the kingdom first? You know why? Because everything you need is in the kingdom of God. Everything you need is in the kingdom of God. And you don't have to look anywhere else. You ain't got to look at a bar. You ain't got to look at the club. You ain't got to look at, you know, just everything you need is in the kingdom of God. Your joy is in the kingdom of God. Your peace is in the kingdom of God. Your money is in the kingdom of God. Your fiancé is in the kingdom of God. Hello, somebody. He or she is in the kingdom of God. You ain't got to look no more. In fact, let me remind you that E. Stanley Jones says the kingdom of God is God's total answer to man's total need. The kingdom of God is God's total answer to man's total need. Jesus is the answer, but the answer said the answer is the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? Jesus is the answer, but the answer said the answer is the kingdom of God. And so today, my brothers and sisters, I want to deal specifically with how shall we respond to the kingdom of God when it's manifested in our life. Last week, I dealt with defining the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What does it look like? And you're going to hear themes of all that all throughout the year. But today I want to deal specifically when God brings his order to our situation, how are we to respond to that? When God brings his rule to our situation, that's the kingdom of God being manifested in our situation. And when that happens, how do we respond to that? Are you following along? When you feel the presence of God through the preaching of the word on Sundays, and you feel like I'm just talking to you and that the message is just for you, and you feel like I'm reading your emails. Has that ever happened to anybody? Like you thought I was just talking to you? When you experience that, that is the kingdom of God being manifested to you. How do you respond? How do you respond when the kingdom of God becomes manifested in your situation? I want to deal with that today. And before I jump all into it, I want to give you this principle. Write down this principle. Response determines effect. Response determines effect. The degree in which the kingdom of God transforms you is determined by your response to the kingdom of God. The degree to which the kingdom of God overtakes you is determined by your response to the kingdom of God. Response determines effect. Why is it so important for us to identify our response to the kingdom of God? Because response determines effect. Are you following along? Proximity doesn't always guarantee effect. Just because you're near something doesn't guarantee you're totally affected by it. You could be near something and totally miss it. You know that? You could be near something. It could be up in your... That's why Jesus had to point things out. That's why he had to say, hey, the kingdom of God is it near. The kingdom of God is at hand. You know why? Because they were prone to miss it. And it was all up in their face. But he still had to point it out. Jesus was the embodiment of the kingdom of God. He was the kingdom of God. Yet there was times when Jesus in his earthly ministry was surrounded by crowds of people, and crowds of people even touched Jesus, yet they were not affected by Jesus. They were close to Jesus, but they were not changed by Jesus. Are you following along? Why? How does that predicament happen? How could you be close to Jesus and not be changed by Jesus? It wasn't because Jesus lacked the power to change them. It wasn't because Jesus lacked the power to change them. It was because they lacked the proper response to Jesus. They lacked the proper response to Jesus. And I submit unto you today that there was so much more that God was trying to do in our life in 2017. But for some of us, we didn't respond correctly and fully. And therefore, we didn't experience it to the degree in which God wanted us to experience. We always got to learn how to respond the right way when God moves. A lot of times a non-response is a negative response. A lot of times a non-response is a negative response. You can't just be a spectator. How should we respond? I want us to look at several verses of scriptures as I answer that this morning. And I'm going to put them up on the screen. The first one is Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. Notice what he says. He says, repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. I'm going to put it on the screen. Look at what it says. It says, in the past, God overlooked some ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to what? To repent. Is anybody glad that God, like, overlooked some of our ignorance this year? I know I'm glad. I've done some stupid things this year. And no, don't laugh at that, right? I'm glad that sometimes God, in his mercy and in his grace, does not give me what I deserve. So he says, he commands all people everywhere to repent. And then Acts chapter 20, verse 21, listen to what it says. This is Paul speaking. He says, I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in what? In repentance and have, now he adds something. He adds something to this verse. And have what? And have faith in the Lord Jesus. So the first two scriptures just dealt with repentance. This one adds something. He says repentance and faith. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to tie all this up in a minute. Listen to what the scripture says. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Someone say, grow up. It's time to 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 come off the Similac. Ooh-wee. Let me stay focused. Let me stay focused. He says, listen what he says. He says, not laying again the foundation of what? Of repentance from acts that lead to death and what? And faith in God. In other words, repentance and faith is part of the foundational doctrines, the elementary teachings of Christ. But notice what he says. He says repentance and faith. Now, when you put all them scriptures together, it outlines our initial response to the kingdom of God when it is manifested. And here it is. Every time the kingdom of God is manifested to our situation, we are to repent and believe. 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 When God brings his order to a chaotic situation in our life, the first response we should do is repent and believe. When God brings his rule to our situation, the first thing that we are to do is repent and believe. When God manifests his presence in our situation, whether our marriages, our families, the first thing that we are to do is we are to repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Write that down. Repent and believe. Repent. Remember, your response determines your effect. The effect. Your response determines effect. Response determines effect. If you're responding the wrong way, you're not going to get the full experience of what God wants to do in your life. And how are you to respond? When the kingdom of God is manifested, you are to repent and believe. Now, let me sew all this together in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to what it says. After John was put in prison. Don't raise your hand, but anybody been in prison here? Don't raise your hand. I just wanted to say that. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee. Everybody say Galilee. Galilee. Man, let me tell you how much a special ops mission this was. The birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus. Galilee was enemy territory for Jesus. It was the territory of King Herod. And you study the life of King Herod, that family was probably the only family that was demon-possessed to kill off the kingdom of God. You study the family of King Herod. I mean, there's probably more families, but I think in the entire Bible, it was probably the only, I'm talking about family, not just individual, I'm talking about family, that was possessed enough to try to kill off the kingdom of God. You study about King Herod, you'll learn that this guy that it's referring to, Galilee, at this particular time, his dad is the one that was reigning. Herod, King Herod was the one that was reigning when Jesus was born. And he heard that a king was born. And you know what he did? He felt so intimidated and so fearful that he tried to kill Jesus by killing off all the babies. I could talk about his dad. And then when you study about this particular person that was living at this time, he's the one that killed John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? Right? Cut off his head because he told him the truth. Then another relative of King Herod, he's the one that killed the apostle James, who was the half-brother of Jesus. Killed him. Put Peter in prison. The entire family of King Herod, like, was set bent on killing off the kingdom of God. And this is what I love about Jesus, is he is not afraid to invade enemy territory to proclaim the good news. He's not afraid to go undercover in Galilee so that you and I can be saved, delivered, and set free. I'm telling you, don't look at Jesus as no frail, skinny little dude. He was a spiritual Rambo. So he says he goes into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Good news, good news. Gospel, good news. Gospel, good news. Gospel, gospel, good news. Gospel, good news. The word gospel means good news. Good news means gospel. Gospel, gospel, good news. And I want you to notice in this verse, where does the good news come from? Where does the good news come from? Talk back now. Just don't get crazy. It comes from God. It says it's the good news of God. In other words, you could say the good news of heaven. I'm trying to lace you up that the birth of Jesus was a special ops, military ops mission from the Father in heaven. And he sent down this good news in the form of Jesus. God has some good news for you. And I know you probably got some bad news in 2017, but it don't outweigh the good news that God has for you. And in essence, the good news, in a nutshell, the good news that is referring to is the availability of the kingdom of God for you. That the kingdom of God is available. You can come out the cage. I can come out the cage. Said the good news of God. Listen to what Jesus says. Man, this sounds military right here. The time has come. Woo. That implies strategic planning. That implies, like, you know, we got this. That implies, man, the time has come. The time has come. How many of you know that God got it covered? How many of you know that God got it covered? Let me tell you something. We're going to learn this at some point in time, but way back in Genesis when Adam and Eve gave up the kingdom, the reason why Jesus got to reintroduce the kingdom is because Adam and Eve, our forefathers, gave up the keys of the kingdom. They gave up. They surrendered. That's the reason why Jesus has to reintroduce it, because he gives back what Adam and Eve lost for us. And Jesus said the time has come. In other words, God planned this out. The Bible teaches that God, we don't even understand it, that he planned this out a long time ago. And in fact, the first reference of Jesus is not in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first reference of Jesus is back in Genesis, right after Adam and Eve fell. God had us covered when he said, listen, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. That's what Jesus was talking about. The time has come. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I've been biting at the rug. I'm waiting to invade. I'm ready to sock this guy up. Oh, let me show you. That's Jesus. The time has come. Set some people free. It's come. I'm ready for this. The kingdom of God is here. It's here. It's come. Ain't no holding back. He says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. It's right here. It's at hand. I can't wait. I'm going to preach on that word one day. Just that word. It's near. It's right. It's right here. It's right in front of you. You have an option. You know, a lot of times the reason why we do what we do is because we think we don't have any options, right? But God says, no, you got an option. And it's called the kingdom of God. You don't have to live that way no more. You don't have to act like that no more. You don't have to be like that no more. You got an option, and it is here. It's near. It says the kingdom of God is near. And listen, He gives our response. Now I'm sewing all this together. He gives our response. This is what he says. He introduces the kingdom, and then he immediately teaches us how we should respond. How do we respond to this good news? Do we just sit on it? Do we just say amen? What do we do? When the kingdom of God is manifested in our life. This is what he says. He says, repent and believe. Repent. Someone say repent. Repent, 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 and believe. Repent, 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 and believe, and believe. Today I want to deal with repentance today. I want to deal with repentance, and you got to help me out because this is not a popular word. You got to help me out because people don't like the word repentance. It doesn't draw crowds. It doesn't tickle people, right? It doesn't get big offerings in the offering plate when we go with tithes and offerings. You got to help me out. It doesn't feel comfortable, right? Repentance is not a popular word. In fact, I was studying it this week to get a fresh look at repentance. And I was reading this one particular pastor, and I think he was a good pastor. Right? I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. And this brother literally said, he goes like this. He goes, I like repentance, but I don't preach repentance. He literally said that. That's how much I think the enemy got us twisted. He goes like this. We need repentance, but let me tell you the reason why I don't preach repentance. In fact, the title of his article, you could Google him in case you think I'm lying. The title of his article was, The Reason Why I Don't Preach Repentance. And I went to read it, and he said, man, we need it. We need it. It is good. You got to have repentance, but I don't preach repentance. And I'm like, what part of the game is this? How are you going to say you need it, but you're not going to preach it? The last I checked, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't preach nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. That don't make no sense in the world. I still think he's a good brother, but still, he's tripping. Many people want a God that allows them to stay in their own sin. Particularly in our generation, family. Many people want a Santa Claus type of Jesus that comes down the chimney and gives us everything we want, but doesn't require anything from us. Many people want a Jesus that is always giving and giving and giving, but never requiring nothing out of us. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, always requires something from us. He requires something from us. The Jesus of the Bible doesn't always come to comfort us, but sometimes he comes to confront us. The Jesus of the Bible will make you feel uncomfortable. If you're going to a church and all you feel is comfortable all the time and comfortable, you're getting spiritually massaged all the time. I mean, I can understand a little bit. But all the time, something is wrong. Why is it that Jesus presents the kingdom of God and he immediately says, repent? I mean, there's not even no room to breathe. He just immediately says, repent. Repent, 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 repent. Why do I need to repent? Why do I need to repent? Well, maybe it's because I'm still sipping and dipping. Maybe, 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 I don't know. Why do I need to repent? Maybe it's because I get more excited over a football game than I do about Jesus. Why do I need to repent? Why do I need to repent? Maybe it's because I'm nicer to the people at my work than I am to the people at my house. Why do I need to repent? Why do I need to repent? Maybe because for a low budget monthly check, I'll get up early and put a smile on my face all day long, but I'll still come late to worship Jesus at church. Why do I need to repent? Why do I need to repent? Maybe it's because God has done so much for me, yet I'm still on the sidelines wondering if I should get involved. Why? Why do I need to repent? Maybe it's because I've been living with my girlfriend for 10 years and I'm still not even thinking about marrying her. Still. Oh, but you don't understand. She don't want. It doesn't matter. You're the man. You lead the situation. You love her. She loves you. Honor God in that situation. You lead. Oh, but no, we can't be blaming it on nobody else. Why do I need to repent? Why do I need to repent? And we wonder why we don't get any lasting breakthrough in our lives. See, I think some of us confuse the mercy and grace of God as the approval of God. God, in his mercy and his grace, is going to bless you even when you're wrong at times. But that doesn't mean to keep doing what you're doing. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? A lot of us are not responding right. We're not repenting. We're just trying to add Jesus to what we're already doing. And it's not working. It doesn't work like that. Jesus presented the kingdom, and he immediately said what? Repent. He immediately said repent. Repent, repent, repent. What does repentance mean? What does repentance mean? In the New Testament, the word repentance means to change one's mind. To change, write that down, one's mind. In the Old Testament, repentance was primarily an issue of morality and behavior. As you move into the New Testament, where Jesus begins to deal with the heart of things, the definition of repentance moves from not just morality, but to a mentality. Did y'all catch that? This is going to set somebody free, because you're trying to change your problem by changing your behavior. And Christianity is not about behavioral modification. You can change your behavior for a season and thus suspend your problem for a season. But the problem is, if you don't change your thinking, your old thinking will just bring back your old problem. Are you following along? See, some of y'all, you can't escape what you're running from is because you allowed the devil to put it in your head. And so you get to wherever you're going to get to, and your problem is still there. You know why? Because you took it with you. You took it with you because you never changed your thinking on the matter. Jesus shows up. He introduces the kingdom of God, and he immediately says, change your mind. Immediately. Now, why does he say that in this particular context? Well, the Jewish people had the wrong thinking about the kingdom of God. They had the wrong thinking about what Jesus was supposed to be and what Jesus was supposed to do. They had a misconception about the kingdom of God. And so before God can work a thorough work in their life, God needed to change their mind. Jesus needed to correct their thinking. Mind. Jesus introduces the kingdom of God, and he immediately says, change your mind. They were thinking one way. God was working the opposite way. In order for you to get in line with what God is doing, you don't change your behavior, you change your thinking. Because oftentimes what God does and what you want to happen are usually two different things. Did you catch that? Oftentimes what God does in your life and what you want to happen in your life are two different things. The Jews wanted Jesus to overthrow the Roman government. The Jews wanted the kingdom of God to be a literal manifestation with people and guards and swords. And the reality was that the Roman government was just a small piece of the problem. And so the Jews were operating off of a small piece of the problem. Jesus was operating off the big picture. And so when God, get this principle, because it'll save you some frustration. When God works in your life, usually we want him to work on the little piece of the puzzle. God doesn't do that. When God works in our life, he operates from the big picture. And if you don't repent, if you don't change your mind, you will find yourself resisting what God is trying to do in your life. Does this make sense to anybody? That's why when God works in our life, we often don't understand it. Anybody have that testimony? Have anybody said, hey, God, I don't understand what you're doing. This don't make sense. This isn't even reasonable. It's because God is operating on the big picture. And we're operating on this little picture. And so when the kingdom meets our situation, he says, change your thinking to line up with my thinking. If you want to fully experience this, let me remind you that Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God operates from the heavens. We oftentimes operate from the earth. And so our vantage point is far narrower than God. And so when God comes on the scene and he works in your life, the first thing you need to do is change your thinking on that situation to line up with what God is trying to do. And then you will fully embrace and experience his power in your life. Does this make sense? And so I want to challenge us today as we go into 2018. We need to manage our minds. We need to manage our minds. Now, why do we need to manage our minds? Why do we need to manage our minds? It's because the pattern of your thinking is causing your problems. The pattern of your thinking is causing your problems. If God fixes your problems without fixing your thinking will eventually bring back your problem. Has anybody experienced or found themselves with the same problem over and over again, repeatedly, like you got, man, I'm here again. How did I get here again? I was just here a month ago. I just cried a month ago. I just was tripping a month ago. He is here. He is here again. It's a different name, but it's the same type of individual. How did I get here again? How did I get here again? I suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, is that you didn't change your thinking. You tried to change your behavior without changing your thinking. And then that old thinking eventually brought back the old problem. And you're here again. Again. Listen, I want you to experience different results in 2018. My prayer for you is that in 2018, in December, you can look around and say, man, this don't look nothing like 2017. That I'm experiencing the fullness of the kingdom of God like never before. I'm experiencing the kingdom of God manifested in my relationships. I'm experiencing the kingdom of God manifested in my finances. I'm experiencing the kingdom of God manifested in my mind, in my job. My prayer for you is to have kingdom results in 2018. But the only way you're going to have kingdom results is if you have a kingdom mentality. The kingdom mentality produces the kingdom results. That's not even on my notes. I'm going to preach that another time. So make sure you get that. So why is it important to manage our minds? Secondly, your thoughts control your lives. Your thoughts control your lives. Every single action begins with a thought. Every single action begins with a thought. That's why you got to be careful with what you put into yourself. You got to be careful with what you watch. You got to be careful what you hear, because what comes in will come out. And sometimes it comes out in the most embarrassing ways. You got to be careful what you listen to. You got to be careful what you see, because your thoughts control your lives. What a lot of people don't understand is that your actions are just the children of your mind. Your actions are just the children of your mind. Your actions are just the children of mind. You act like what you think like. You act like what you think like. In fact, I'll suggest to you is that your mind is the first one to do it. When a couple divorces, physically divorces, and that paperwork went through, that's not the day they got a divorce. No, the divorce happened in somebody's mind months before that. Your thoughts are the children of your mind, or your actions are the children of your mind. And so that's why the scripture says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Shaped by your thoughts. And lastly, why is it important to manage our mind? It is the key to peace. It's the key to peace. Let me remind you, Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You want more peace in 2018? You want to bust 2018 wide open? Keep your mind managed. Manage your mind. Manage your mentality. Watch what you put into your mind. Guard what you put into your mind, because eventually it's going to come out. For some of you, you got to change what you're listening to on the radio. For some of you, you got to change what you're listening to on TV. For some of you, you got to change what you're listening to in conversations. You're listening to too much complaining. You're listening to too much murmuring, and it's coming in you. And there's seeds in your mind. And some of y'all, you're haunted by these seeds that you allowed to be planted like a couple years ago. And they're bearing fruit. And we don't want them to bear fruit in 2018. We want the seeds of righteousness, godliness, to be manifested in your life. But you got to manage your mind. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would like us for a couple moments to reflect upon how God spoke to you today. Is there something, a pattern of thinking that you need to repent from? Is there a pattern of thinking that you need to repent from? Let's bow our heads and our hearts just for the next couple moments and reflect upon God's word.